Hey, I'm Jeremy Loeb with WCQS News. You're about to hear an interview with civil rights icon and Democratic Georgia Congressman John Lewis. He will be in Charlotte today, marching voters to the polls in an effort to get people turned out to vote. Much has been made of the low black turnout so far in North Carolina. Numbers are down from 2012. Why do you think that is? And with so little time left in this election, what do you think, if anything, can be done about it?
Here in North Carolina, like so many other parts of America, we have to get out and inform people how important this election is. It is very, very important. It can determine our future. It can determine whether we go back or whether we go forward. I believe as Americans, and I believe the citizens of North Carolina want to go forward. We don't want to go back to the dark past. We want to bring people together and not divide people on the basis of race, a color, a nationality. I've been saying to people all across America, but especially here in the South, that we're one people, we're one family, we all live in what I call the American house. And so it doesn't matter whether we're black or white, Latino, Asian American, or Native American. We all must get out and vote. The vote is precious. It's almost sacred. It is the most powerful, nonviolent instrument or tool that we have in a democratic society.
Okay, and you'll be in North Carolina today, leading a march to the polls in Charlotte. And why Charlotte?
Well, Charlotte is a major urban center, not just for the state of North Carolina, but for America. The Democratic Convention was held here in this wonderful city. So many things that happened here in Charlotte over the years. To be leading a march, it reminds me of the march that I led in Selma, Alabama on March 7, 1965. It reminds me of what Martin Luther King Jr. said many years ago. There's not anything more powerful than the marching feet of a determined people. There's something inspiring when people come together, march together, singing together, and voting together.
And Congressman Lewis, you've seen what's been going on in North Carolina as far as restrictions being placed on voting, early voting. Those were struck down by the courts, but there's been sort of this battle over early voting hours and sites, and there's even a court battle going on right now over purged voters. What do you think about what's been going on in North Carolina?
What's been taking place in this state is shameful. But it's not just in the state of North Carolina, other parts of America, and not just the South. I think there's been a deliberate, systematic effort to make it harder and more difficult for people to participate. We need to open up the political process and let everybody come in. People died for the right to vote. I gave a little blood on that bridge. I almost died. And we will not, whether it's North Carolina or Georgia, Alabama, or whether it's Pennsylvania, the American people will not tolerate trying to make it harder and difficult. It should be simpler. It should be easier. And that's why people must turn out and vote.
Do you think that the numbers of black voters will be able to increase? Like, I'm thinking specifically of places like Guilford County, where Greensboro is, where there was only one voting site open for the first week of early voting, and we saw a dramatic decrease, not just amongst black voters, but in early vote totals in general in that county. And of course, Greensboro being a large city, that includes a number of black voters as well.
It doesn't make sense to have one site, one place in a city, a community like Greensboro. It's tend to stifle, it tend to slow down the process. People don't like standing in long lines and waiting. And I saw 8 years ago, and I've seen it all across America. I've seen it in Ohio. I've seen it in Florida. I've seen it in Georgia. We have to stop it. And when we elect a new Congress, and elect Hillary Clinton as president of the United States, we're going to do everything possible to fix the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
What what would you say to voters who are skeptical of Hillary Clinton when it comes to black voters? A lot of people mention her comment about super predators that she made back in the 90s. I know she's apologized for that, but what would you say to a voter who still has reservations about her?
Well, I've been knowing Hillary Clinton for many, many years. She would keep her word. You're right, she did apologize for the statement that she had made some years ago. And she will be true to her word. She is prepared. She is ready to go out there and really fight and stand up and push and pull. One of the first major speeches she made after she announced that she was running for the Democratic nomination to be president, that she would reform the criminal justice system. So I don't have any doubt that she would keep her word.
Donald Trump has appealed to black voters by saying that Democrats don't really care about black people, that they only care about their votes, and that every 4 years they hear from Democrats, but in between, Democrats are nowhere to be found. What do you say to that? I know you're a Democrat, of course.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat, and I've been in Congress now for almost 30 years. I followed every election since the election of President Kennedy in 1960 when I was 20 years old. The Democrats have been on the side of civil rights and human rights, women's rights, gay rights. I've stood up for people, the most vulnerable people in our society. It was the Democrats that came together and worked with others to get the Civil Rights Act passed, the first Civil Rights Act in modern time in 1957, the Civil Rights Act in 1964. It was under the leadership of Lyndon Johnson that we got the Voting Rights Act. In 1965, I've met with every president since President Kennedy, and both Democrats and Republicans. And the Democratic president, whether it's John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, or Barack Obama, they've been committed not just to the issue and the cause of civil rights, but to human rights and to the rights of all people, and especially those that have been left out and left behind.
I'm glad you brought up leadership. You are seen as a civil rights leader. Back in the 60s, you knew Martin Luther King, who was seen as a great leader as well. Could you just say something to me about leadership and what we should be looking for in a president as far as leadership goes?
A leader must lead and must be committed to helping move a society along, helping to bring people together and building consensus. I've said in the past that a leader must be a headlight and not a taillight. A leader must have a vision of where we're going and the road we must travel. President Kennedy was an unbelievable leader. Martin Luther King Jr., who I got to know so well, and Robert Kennedy have been great and outstanding leaders. They led us. They inspired us. And leaders must be able to inspire, to tell us, this is where we're going, and this is how we're going to get there.
Okay, and you see that kind of leadership with Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I see that type of leadership in Hillary Clinton. She would be a great leader. And I tell you, and I believe in my gut, I really do believe this, that there's no one better prepared to be president of the United States on day one than Hillary Clinton. I've seen so many, been in the offices, been in the room, and discussing and debating the great issues of civil rights and social justice. She is ready. She can do the job.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir.